Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We're going to take a closer look at the lesson. Verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? It is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. Bob Woodley writes, Abraham had more than two sons, but the ones spoken of here are contrasted. His first son, Ishmael, recorded in Genesis 16, and his second son, Isaac, recorded in Genesis 21. The whole point of the comparison is that one was born by natural means by a servant girl, and one was born by supernatural means according to the promise of God by a free woman, his wife. The emphasis throughout this context has been on the promise of God versus human effort. So Hagar and Sarah are the two covenants. Hagar represents the Old Testament covenant and the law, while Sarah represents the New Testament covenant, the promise that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. C. Philip Green writes, now in Bible days, the status of the mother determined the status of her children. If their mother was a slave, then her children were slaves, even if their father was a king. On the other hand, if a mother was free, then her children were free, even if their father was a slave. So spiritually speaking, who is your mother? Is she slave or is she free? Free, that's what you're supposed to say, okay? Everybody say free.
Free.
Okay. Just as Sarah represents the promise, Hagar is used to represent slavery. So spiritually speaking, we're either slave or free. And I got this diagram up here. They had a lot of really neat pictures I'm going to share with you. And as for Ishmael, I heard you, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear, the free woman. Abraham's first mistake was to leave the promised land and go to Egypt. Some Egyptian slaves that Pharaoh gave to Sarah joined Abram's entourage. Hagar was one of them. Sarah was sterile, so after waiting for 10 years, she thought she could have a son by using her slave as a surrogate mother. That's what happened over here, to give birth to her child. Therefore, Ishmael was the result of human effort, according to the flesh, while Isaac was the son of Sarah, and the result of faith in the promise of God. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 24, these things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. What were the names of the two sons? Ishmael. And that's the son of the slave woman. And his name means God is listening or God is paying attention. And then Isaac, who's the child of the promise. And his name means laughter. Isn't that cool? And they named him laughter because they thought there's no way we're going to have kids, okay? Not at their age. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, okay? But Mount Sinai is where Moses received the Ten Commandments or the law. And Paul identifies the present city of Jerusalem with the Old Covenant and the law. Paul says that the Jews are still in slavery, that they're children of Hagar, okay? And the holy city of Jerusalem is a place of slavery. How do you think that went over with the Judaizers? You think maybe he offended some of them, okay? You tell a Jew that at that time that Jerusalem is not the true Jerusalem, you'd be in for a fist fight, okay? I think we can see why Paul got beat up so much. Kevin L. Jones writes, the reason that Ishmael was born was because Abraham and Sarah were impatient and showed a lack of faith in God's promise. Things didn't happen when and how they ought that it should, so they took matters into their own hands. Regardless of the rebellion in his time, God fulfilled his promise. Even in their old age, God enabled Abraham and Sarah to conceive Isaac. Israel and the law were symbolic of the bondwoman's children. Isaac and eventually Abraham's promised seed, Jesus, came from the free woman as a result of promise. It was important for Paul to address this issue among the Galatian believers. It was a way of refuting the teaching of the Judaizers. And I got this picture, it's from the Renaissance, and what's cool is look how old Abraham is and Sarah, okay? He's 100 at the time, and she's 90. And God told them they're going to have a baby. Exactly, that's what they did. They laughed, okay? They laughed, all right? So, have we ever tried to make things happen because God didn't appear to be answering our prayers? And how's that work out for you? I love asking the guys in jail that. Because they're all sitting there in irons and they go, well, not too well, okay? Usually when we try to control our lives and make decisions without being guided by the Holy Spirit, things are a mess, okay? Some of us may remember Paul Harvey. A lot of the young people don't even know who Paul Harvey is, all right? But he was a radio announcer that had all these neat stories, and he had one. He went and saw a sign at a service station. That's a gas station, and they used to have service there. They would actually work on cars at service stations, okay? You wouldn't just buy gas and go in and get a Slurpee, okay? And this one mechanic had his rates out where people could see how much it cost. And it said $10 an hour. But if you watch, it's $12 an hour. If you help, it's $15 an hour. If you work on it first and then brought it in, it's $27.50 an hour. Okay. That's kind of like us with God, right? When we do we need to help God out? No. But we seem to think that, don't we? Okay. That God doesn't have things under control. Right, Pastor Robin? Philip Green writes, so it is when we try to help God out. When we seek to secure God's promised blessings through our own human efforts, we don't get blessed. We get trouble. That's what happened to Abraham. His own human efforts to secure God's promised blessing only brought trouble to his family. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. So we got the two covenants. Okay, once again, we got a pretty cool picture here. There's Hagar and Ishmael, and there's Abraham and Sarah, and you can tell they're not teenagers, right? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Here are some descriptions of the new Jerusalem from the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Then in Revelation 21, 1 through 8, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. To those who are victorious, will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, this is the bad news, okay? But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And I put that last verse in there because, first of all, this is our home, okay? Pretty cool, huh? My room's right back up over here, okay? But I included the last verse because there is a heaven and there is a hell. For us, we're heaven bound. Amen?
Amen.
But there is a hell, and that gives us a job to do. But this is what it means to be children of promise. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the bride of Christ. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
To think that Jesus Christ would choose us to be His bride.
Amen.
Amen. That's grace. Amen. Julie writes, the metaphor is between the current system of Judaism centered in Jerusalem and the coming end-time city, the New Jerusalem. This city, not made with hands, exists eternally in heavens. Notice that Paul made the Jerusalem above apply to the church. New Testament apostolic writings change the focus of the Old Testament, Jews versus Greeks, to believers versus unbelievers. The New Testament reorients the Old Testament geographical promises from Palestine to heaven, earthly Jerusalem against heavenly Jerusalem. It is this basic change of focus that allows the book of Revelation to refer to one, believers, not Jews, and two, a universal kingdom, not a Jewish kingdom. So the question is, how do we become children of promise? Through grace. Spurgeon writes, the Sarah covenant is the covenant of grace, or the everlasting covenant, not made with God and man, but made with God and Christ Jesus. Which covenant is this? Christ Jesus, on His part, engages to bear the penalty of all His people's sins, to die to pay their debts, to take their iniquities upon His shoulders. And the Father promises, on His part, that all for whom the Son does die shall most assuredly be saved. That seeing they have evil hearts, He will put His law in their hearts, that they shall not depart from it. And that seeing they have sins, He will pass thereby and not remember them any more forever. Amen. The difference of the covenants rests here. The one was made with man, the other with Christ. Truly God and truly man, right? The one was a conditional covenant, conditional on Adam's standing. The other is a conditional covenant with Christ, but as perfectly unconditional with us. There are no conditions. We just believe in Jesus Christ. The only way we become children of promise is through the blood of Jesus. We must confess we are sinners and accept Jesus' love. Accept His love, forgiveness, and His lordship. People don't want to accept His lordship because they want to be in charge, just like Abraham and Sarah. And what does our culture say? We don't need Jesus because we're all basically good. That's a lie. Isn't that what Abraham and Sarah tried to do? They said, we can work it out. We don't need a Savior. They tried to work things out on their own without God. And I like this. Kind of looks like Grandma, huh? There's Grandma. Okay. You're too dirty. Then take a bath in the blood of Jesus. He'll wash you clean. Yep, sure will. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Verse 28. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. Kevin Jones writes, Ishmael persecuted or mocked Isaac in Genesis 21:8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Ishmael's descendants have been persecuting Isaac's descendants ever since. Ishmael's descendants are the Arabs and Isaac's are the Jews. Go home and turn on the TV or the internet so you can watch it live tonight. All the trouble in the Middle East for centuries because Abraham and Sarah had a better idea. The lesson for us is let go and let God. And that's a wonderful book, by the way. I encourage you all to read it. Let Go and Let God. So pray, relax, let go, and let God take over. Because that's what we're supposed to do anyway, right? And somehow things work out, huh? He's got a plan. But what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. I got this picture, and I remember seeing this like when I was a kid, and I said, man, that is really bad, you know, to kick out this woman and her son, okay? And that's what Paul is telling us in Galatians in regards to the Judaizers. Kick the Judaizers out, as he's saying. Kick these Judaizers out of the church. Kick these false teachers out of the church. And that's a word for the church today also, regarding all false teachers. And you're saying, well, Pastor, that's not very nice. Can't we all just get along? Isn't that what our culture says? Just get along. And the answer is no. The answer is no. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And then in 1 Corinthians 15:33, I think most of us know this, but we don't know where it's located. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." You ever hear that before? So why is Paul so harsh with the Judaizers? Because it threatens souls. And that's why we left our previous denomination, because it threatens souls. Now, we're not all going to agree on baptism and the Lord's Supper, but that's not going to affect somebody's salvation. When you condone sin, that's going to affect somebody's salvation. And that's what Paul was concerned about. He's worried about his people's souls. And it's not a matter of being politically correct. It's a matter of, where are we going to spend eternity? Are you going to be popular that way? No. That's why Paul is so harsh. That's why Ishmael and Hagar were kicked out, okay? Because it would threaten souls. And God is more concerned about our souls than whether we're comfortable, okay? And I don't like that sometimes. But God is concerned about Rick's soul. Amen? We have a Heavenly Father who has a good plan for each of our lives. And the key for that plan is to let go and let God. Kevin Jones writes, "Through all of this, we find that from the beginning, God had a plan. When he made his covenant with Abraham, he had a plan. When he made his covenant with Moses, he had a plan. He still has a plan. No matter what happens, ultimately, his plan will be accomplished. No one can stop it." Amen? And he has a plan for each one of our lives. And we preach this all the time in the jail, and I'm preaching it to you even though you're not in Orange. He has a plan for your life, okay? And the key is to get in line with his will and find out what that plan is, right? But he's got a plan for each and every one. We've got a great God, okay? He's got a plan for Reagan, little baby Reagan, and for baby Ronnie. He's got a plan for each and every one of us. Amen? And baby Ryan, who's out raising heck in the Sunday school right now. God bless. God bless Adriana is all I got to say, okay? So friends, let go and let God. And his perfect plan, he's got a perfect plan for it. It will be worked out and accomplished in our lives. Amen? Pastor.